Everybody, welcome to the Oye Comics podcast. Oye Comics. A little rename there for the review show that I'm doing. I just think it was just something to make it more appropriate and its own thing, even though within the Fuakata podcast system, just have it stand alone apart from everything else and have its own kind of like IP kind of thing. It's brought to you by Fuakata.com and Florida Geek Scene. Everything you need to know about what's happening geek-wise, nerd-wise, whatever-wise in the Florida area. It's good to be back. We kind of have a bye week last week because I was inundated with MegaCon. And if you're listening to the Fuakata podcast, you know that I put the indie comic panel that was happening last Sunday at MegaCon, which was great fun. And just so I had no time to go and do any of the reviews I wanted to do. But I have some reviews this week. In other news, doing great. Ravenous is doing excellent. If you're watching and reading Ravenous right now, it's in all the comic book shops. Written by John Ayua and drawn by Jose Varese. It's our flagship title over at Creature Entertainment. And we're sold out, technically. Some comic shops didn't get their full allotment. We're waiting to hear back from Diamond, because, oh, Diamond, you know how to crush people's dreams, don't you? Bring them up, it lifts them up and crushes them at the same time. So because of that, some people got short a bit, but also because of that, now there's this big, crazy buyer's market out there. And I will say, this is the truth. We don't have much copies at all left. The few that we have are like our own personal reserve and stuff that we had for conventions and the few things that we had for the store. So because of that, all of a sudden people are buying in. Now we're starting to see our variant cover go for anywhere between $30 to $60 and the regular cover go for up to $20. So we don't know what's going on. I guess this is just part of the game, man. And it's amazing, the comics game and how it works out and everything. We're happy with it because it seems to be getting in everybody's hands and everybody who's picking it up is super happy. So I am ecstatic about that. This is like our first real foray into the comics world, and the fact that we're doing this good, I feel pretty good about it. So other than that, I'm working on The Goblin's Heist, my comic book store. I'm putting it together. After this podcast, I think I'm going to Lowe's to buy even more shelves. I was at IKEA last night till like 9:30 at night looking over some stuff and trying to see what we can and can't do. Every time my phone. So we're going to get into some reviews. I'm going to talk about some of the cool stuff that I picked up at MegaCon and some of the people I talked to and everything else and overall the industry. Okay. Alright, so one of the first things I'm going to be reviewing for you guys is Boom Studios Hit 1957 by Bryce Carlson, Vanessa R. Del Rey, and Nico Guardia. I got the really cool PDF of this, so I had all the covers on here. So some of the alternate covers, like by Terry Dodson, are fucking amazing. They're just really cool looking. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Hit. It's kind of like very like gangster noir, kind of like crime noir book in color with some amazing art by Del Rey art. It's a really looks beautiful. I'm just scrolling through now again and noticing some panel work here that looks phenomenal. It is kind of like Mad Men-ish. I think there is, to a certain degree, a very big stylization. If you're fans of like stuff like Parker or the this original hit series, or like, you know, books like Forgive Me, Father by Creature Entertainment, wink, 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 nudge, nudge, you'll see a, you know, it has that kind of crime noir kind of flavor to it. The characters are very anti-hero. You know, they're not the kind of characters like you root for them, but you really shouldn't. They're bastards. They're pieces of crap, like from one end to another. But in the end, this is what makes that book interesting, because you start rooting for some of these non-savory type characters. Again, and it's no holds barred. There's a lot of parts here that it's, you know, always one of those things that you go and look back to the, oh, good old days of this and this and that. And when you go to see, you know, the good old days were just as fucked up as today. So when you watch some of these, there's a lot of parts to it, and the twists and turns in it are really good. There's so many parts I want to kind of mention, but I think in essence I can't mention anything because it's so integral to the story. There's so many little mysteries that develop every couple of pages. But it's really well done. It's really well put together. The pacing is pretty good. If you're looking for a nice hardcore like crime, gritty noir kind of book, showing off Vegas and LA in the 50s and stuff like that, and what was going on, it's a damn great book for that. Again, like the artwork is just, you know, it sparkles. It has a very modern color tone too, so I think that kind of helps bring it in. As much as it's the good old past, like the color work too actually helps it really come in. There's a definite palette to everything that's going on. There's a couple of panels here that it just helps the storytelling, how much the color switches in and out when you, especially when you either have flashbacks or flash forwards or certain scenes. It's just really works really well. And I mean, it's like what's great too is that anytime you have a book like this, it's kind of cool to see that even that how into the crew behind a book is. So like Bryce Carson has some like great write-ups in the back and everything else, and illustrations, and they have like advertisements that are in between different parts there. So like they're kind of fake advertisements of the area and the time and everything, like little fake postcards and stuff like that. And those are great because it kind of adds the flavor to the book overall. I think I read the previous hit series and I dug it, and I didn't get too into it because there is a kind of like the, I think this one breaks away from it. There was a kind of like, man, I'm a bad guy, but I'm gonna do good kind of thing to it, you know, that I was kind of like, ah, we've seen this before. We've seen it, you know. I figure in films and books and stuff like that, I've seen it before in other crime noir things, you know, where you have like the tough detective guy type that has a heart of gold, and you know, luckily there was a guy that was helping him, but now it ain't ruined. And so I was like, it was good, it was well done, but I just couldn't get into the story too much. Here it seems to break away and already builds on that, and now you have something else to look at. And so I'm really digging it, and I think it's a really interesting series. I'm definitely gonna probably pick up issue two. If you're into crime books, it's really great. If you're just an outsider and you're coming into crime books and you want to read something different, it's really good too, because it doesn't throw you for a loop. You're not lost in it. And again, the execution of it between the writing and everything else is really great. I think it's really cool. Just even the font, like the fact that they use like a Futura font for some of the locations and stuff like that. I really dug that. That was like a little, there was like a, there's a very awareness of graphic design in here. So everything else. So yeah, so Boom Studios Hit 1957 issue one. Pick it up. It's a really good read, and definitely I don't know what I give it a 3 guayabas out of 4. All right. When you are alone, you are the cat, you are the phone, you are an animal. The words I'm saying now mean nothing more than meow to an animal. Wake up, smell the cat food in your bank account. Destruction over an overture. And do I need a bot to be teenied? This touch, don't let's start. This is the worst part. Could believe for all the world that you're my precious little girl. But don't let's start. I've got a weak heart and I don't get around. How you get around? Alright, for my second review, I am looking at The Regular Show, created by J.G. Quintel. It is issue, what what is the issue? It's a 2015 March Madness special by Boom Studios again. Has some really cool like alternate covers. Kaboom, actually. And it's regular show number one, but 2015 March Madness special. It has a great cover of a leprechaun wreaking havoc. If you guys aren't familiar with regular show, it has these two cartoon characters. I forget their names exactly. But it's the illustrations and everything that's going on. It's cool. I really dug this book because it kind of reminded me of my own childhood when there used to be like for Heathcliff, the old Star Comics emblem, a lot of stuff like that. If you're like a fan of a show, like I was a fan of Heathcliff. I hated Garfield. Garfield sucked. Heathcliff was way cooler. If you're a fan of a show or what have you, and you were, you know, wanted to see more, you could pick up like Star Comics, and they had like Richie Rich and some other ones. I remember that my main thing was, I think, Madballs, and which was a toy, kids. Yes, that was a toy back in the day. All right, this is not, you know, some ice cream man that, you know, finger banged me somewhere. It was an actual toy, and Heathcliff and stuff like that. And you could find them there. You know, just like there were He-Man comics and G.I. Joe comics and stuff like that. So regular show does a really good job of being a pretty cool looking comic. Has some really great art. This is like a slew of short stories that are in there, and obviously this is a little late. I think they gave it to us a little late for us to kind of review, but I think you can still pick this up. Even though it's a March Madness issue, it's really cool because there's a lot of different shorts in it. A lot of different names on here. Just to name a few, there's Molly Ostertag, Kevin Panetta, Ryan Sieg, Katie Farina, Christina Ness, Sean Aldridge, Shanna Mastuzak, Derek Charm, Jim Campbell. You know, covers by Ryan Sieg, variant covers by Felipe Martins. The alternate covers are pretty cool, too. There's some ones there's one there that's really nicely illustrated. It's really beautiful. But the stories overall, like, what I love the most is that, you know, some are really, like, breaking the panels and doing these really nice layouts and stuff like that, even though it's a simple cartoon style that they're doing. And some things I'm surprised about, like, there's like, some parts here that they're dealing with, like, druids and the spring equinox and everything that they're putting together, and it's like, wow. Like, I always feel like, well, this is a little advanced for kids, but then I say, you know, I shouldn't be eating shit. You know, I was reading a lot of advanced stuff when I was kids, so, you know, there's not, you know, anything else. But then it goes back to, like, silliness. Like, just some things are, like, you know, paper plane fights and stuff like that, which were really cool. So those are kind of fun. Like, as for a kid, this is the kind of stuff that gives you, you know, fuel for silliness to see more and to look at more. So it's pretty cool. I mean, some of the stories are really short and sweet. They're funny. They have different versions of them and everything. But in the end, it's a really cool, like, little comic. Like, for kids and stuff like that, this is enjoyable. And then this is something that I could see as a kid you can flip through over. You know, that was a big thing for me when I was young. Like, how much can I flip through the book and enjoy it? And again and again and again and stuff like that. So overall, it's a really cool... I just don't know how far it would go. There's some parts here that I think you have to watch the show to kind of know what's going on. I think somebody picking this up off the street might go, what the hell? But, I mean, you know, it's a cartoon book in the truest sense of the word. And in a sense of a good cartoon book. It's enjoyable. You can read it. You can, like, enjoy it. You don't have to know all this shit to read it and enjoy it, you know? That being said, I don't have too much more to add to this, but it's a good book. I dug it. I really did. And there's some really good work comic book wise in it. I don't know if I would say pick it up because I'm not that big of a fan of the show. I'm not somebody that I'll watch it when it's on TV, but I don't really pursue it. I think if you're a fan, you would probably get this anyway. But overall, it's a fun book, and I would, like, definitely pick this up and give it to you, like, my niece and nephew, and have them, like, read it or something, or even my older nephews, I would hand it to them, and it would be something fun for them to have and read and everything else. So, I think it works. It's pretty cool. I kind of give it, 2.5 Wayabas out of 5. Again, if you're a fan of the show, it's 4 Wayabas to 5 Wayabas for sure. If you haven't read the show or haven't knew it, I would say 3. If you're into, like, fun, old-school cartoon comics and stuff like that, it would be about a 3 also. I mean, again, I think there's a lot here to look at. I think some of the artwork is like Molly Ostertag really did a really cool job with her short, and everything that you're trying to portray. Like the artwork is beautiful and it all throughout, but in hers it really stands out. So you know, I would maybe pick it up. You know, flip through it, see what you want to do, and read it. For reviews for right now. I do want to remind you guys that if you ever guys want to have anything reviewed, or is there anything particular you want me to take a look at or what have you, please hit me up. You can always find me at Fwakata, Fwacata, either Fwakata.com, Fwakata on Twitter, Fwakata everywhere. Just put in Fwakata and I come up, right? You know, my Instagram, all that. And if you go to my main webpage, you can find my email address. Click there, hit me up, let me know what you think. If there's anything in particular you want me to pick up or look at and everything else. MegaCon was really fun. It was awesome. I think it was bigger than ever. I like that it was back in the old convention center. There's a lot of talk, a lot of apprehension right now because it's changing hands. You know, Fan Expo has bought it, and everybody's kind of like, okay, so what's going to happen from here? How is it going to go? Everybody kind of knew how MegaCon went beforehand, and the last couple of years it's just been more difficult to do. It's not more costly, but it's just been, well, it was more costly last year, but they brought their prices back down. We were back at the old convention center instead of the new one, which was way better, I think. A lot more people, I think, this year. They have to have broken records, because there were some parts there that it got kind downright San Diego NYCC level silly of movement in that hall. But I think by the other side, like, a lot of it was just the way they were running it and everything else. I don't know if it was too stringent or lack of care. There was just so many times that for the vendors, it was a pain in the ass to get do something. And for even the showgoers, it was a kind of a pain in the ass to get stuff done. So I don't know if that was just, you know, a symptom of the sale of the show over to Fan Expo and now the changing of hands. I'm going to explore it more. Us as a company, we might, you know, want to see if we can work out something with Fan Expo and do more of their shows alongside with this one. So if it, you know, comes out really good and they kind of run it. Most of the time, you know, a lot of people get kind of scared with the corporate takeovers of the conventions. But let me tell you, a lot of times it makes the shows better and a little stronger. And if you look at other, you know, companies like ReedPop that do it so right, they do it so well. Anytime you do one of their shows, you're just like amazed how clean cut, to the point, here you go, professional, everything is up and on the up and up, you know, kind of shows, you know. And sometimes it's not like, you know, any scumbaggy shit. It's just sometimes you do a show and it's just like, man, you know, little things like somebody just to give you a badge is this turns into the biggest pain in the ass. And it really does start weighing in on you on what shows you're going to do or not do. So it's going to be interesting. I saw a lot of like the old school, all the old creators, everybody from, you know, Cosmic Times, Fierce, Students of the Unusual, you know, a lot of people there, new faces were there. You know, a lot of people were putting out their new books and everything. Think of like Productions, some buddies of ours from here in Miami. And, you know, we had some really kind words being said to us, you know, overall. It's one of those things like, you know, I didn't look for it, but I've always tried to help out and make comics happen wherever I am. I'm a big evangelist for it. I really believe in the form. So it was kind of nice to see a lot of the people that I've kind of like touched upon or helped or given advice to, and they came around and now they're doing their thing and they give us, you know, props for helping them. So I'm kind of glad on that part too. So overall, it was just a really good con. We're just going to see how it is next year. Let's just see what happens. I think the layout was weird this year. How they had Artist Alley was kind of weird. But I didn't hear too many complaints. Everybody was making some money. So as for people that go there and vendors and stuff like that, they were happy. We were happy. So I don't know if there was any problem like that. But it's just little things like, you know, like the food court was all in one place. It used to be spread out. They used to have a food court over here and the food court over there. It was all in different places, so it was easier to go eat. There would be an emptier food court. You didn't have to go to one everybody else went to. Now they just jammed everybody in one place. I mean, and then, you know, this is the classic complaint of any convention. But you go there and you get to go get the food and it's the same shit. And then they're trying to charge you like $10 for like some kind of $2 microwave pizza. You know, that's the size of a, you know, the size of a dime, you know, why, you know, at least at other times they had alternative and fresher things and stuff that was healthier. And this time it didn't seem like I was there. You kind of forced to eat the junk food. That was like one thing I didn't dig, but again, it's changing hands. So let's see what happens next year with everything. How was MegaCon for you guys? Let me know what you think. As always, you can hit me up here. Until next week, hopefully I'm going to have a lot more stuff to review next week. I gotta go poke Mike Favada and Slazier a little bit, Scott Slazier, and say, hey man, give me some cooler shit to review for these folks. And let me know how I'm doing. All right, folks. Till next time, this is Juan Navarro and this is Oye Comics. See you guys next week.
Put it in my baby, like that baby.